Chapter 13. The Muggleborn Registration Commission.
"Ah, Mafalda,"
said Umbridge, looking at Hermione.
"Travers sent you, did he?"
"Yes," squeaked Hermione.
"Good, you'll do perfectly well."
Umbridge spoke to the wizard in black and gold.
"That's that problem solved, Minister. If Mafalda can be spared for record-keeping, we should be able to start straight away."
She consulted her clipboard.
10 people today, and one of them the wife of a ministry employee. Tut-tut, even here, in the heart of the ministry."
She stepped into the lift beside Hermione, as did the two wizards who had been listening to Umbridge's conversation with the minister.
"We'll go straight down, Mafalda. You'll find everything you need in the courtroom. Good morning, Albert. Aren't you getting out?"
Yes, of course," said Harry in Runcorn's deep voice.
Harry stepped out of the lift. The golden grills clanged shut behind him. Glancing over his shoulder, Harry saw Hermione's anxious face sinking back out of sight, a tall wizard on either side of her, Umbridge's velvet hair bow level with her shoulder.
"What brings you up here, Runcorn?"
asked the new Minister of Magic. His long black hair and beard were streaked with silver, and a great overhanging forehead shadowed his glinting eyes, putting Harry in mind of a crab looking out from beneath a rock.
"Needed a quick word with," Harry hesitated for a fraction of a second, "Arthur Weasley. Someone said he was up on level one."
"Ah," said Pious Thickness. "Has he been caught having contact with an undesirable?"
"No," said Harry, his throat dry. "No, nothing like that."
"Ah, well, it's only a matter of time," said Thickness. "If you ask me, the blood traitors are as bad as the mudbloods. Good day, Runcorn."
"Good day, Minister."
Harry watched Thickness march away along the thickly carpeted corridor. The moment the minister had passed out of sight, Harry tugged the invisibility cloak out from under his heavy black cloak, threw it over himself, and set off along the corridor in the opposite direction. Runcorn was so tall that Harry was forced to stoop to make sure his big feet were hidden. Panic pulsed in the pit of his stomach. As he passed gleaming wooden door after gleaming wooden door, each bearing a small plaque with the owner's name and occupation upon it, the might of the ministry, its complexity, its impenetrability, seemed to force itself upon him, so that the plan he had been carefully concocting with Ron and Hermione over the past 4 weeks seemed laughably childish. They had concentrated all their efforts on getting inside without being detected. They had not given a moment's thought to what they would do if they were forced to separate. Now Hermione was stuck in court proceedings, which would undoubtedly last hours. Ron was struggling to do magic that Harry was sure was beyond him. A woman's liberty, possibly depending on the outcome. And he, Harry, was wandering around on the top floor when he knew perfectly well that his quarry had just gone down in the lift. He stopped walking, leaned against a wall, and tried to decide what to do. The silence pressed upon him. There was no bustling or talk or swift footsteps here. The purple-carpeted corridors were as hushed as though the Muffliato charm had been cast over the place.
"Her office must be up here,"
Harry thought. It seemed most unlikely that Umbridge would keep her jewelry in her office, but on the other hand, it seemed foolish not to search it to make sure. He therefore set off along the corridor again, passing nobody but a frowning wizard who was murmuring instructions to a quill that floated in front of him, scribbling on a trail of parchment.